Neil from Amihud Glazer, who taught you last week.
Very interesting.
Very interesting approach that he has created to the study of Chumash. And number two, I simply report that I don't know what to call it—a successful trip, the trip that my wife and I made to Toronto. They really, you know, it seems like they remember the old Reb founder of the yeshiva, and this was very gratifying that the historic record was set straight, and that there I am. I'm the shadus, the remnant of the 50 years ago, and thank God that we're gesundheit here to be able to say I remember 50 years ago, and I did speak about, I did reminisce a little bit, and thank God that the only complaint that they had was, thank God the only complaint they had was that I didn't speak long enough. I was very happy to hear that. You should have kept talking, but I didn't. I hold the doctor to tell you smitchin' to mention. Anyway, it's good to be back over here, but then of course, what's there? There's an evil coming. A tremendous sense of mourning has descended upon Klal Yisrael in general, and Eretz Yisrael b'fat today, the day of the Levayas, of a terrible, terrible, profound tragedy, from which I hope that our leadership is finally going to learn. I mean, there have been thousands killed here in Eretz Yisrael. They have to learn that we're up against a phenomenon of Islamic terrorism and murder. It's not a matter of asking them, well, what do they want? Like, what can we give them that will make everything right? That's not the story anymore. It's a religious struggle, and we are the intended victims. We're intended victims. And not to be victims, we have to learn how to fight back. I hope they will learn that. You see the pictures of such a wonderful young couple, a child who's going to grow up orphaned from father and mother, and the others who were killed. It's a tragedy, profound Jewish tragedy, which unfortunately repeats itself throughout history. All right, we will learn L'zecha Nishmas HaNitzachim, in memory of those who were killed in Mumbai. I don't think it's going to be an easy shiur today. But we're going to try our best. It began because one of the people who comes here occasionally met me on the street in King George a few weeks ago. He says, Rabbi Gold, I have a question. Usually people tell me, I have a question for you, as though I'm only sitting around waiting for people to bring me questions. You don't have a question for me. You have a question for you that you're asking me. So she had a question. What was her question? It's a pasuk that we say in davening every day. It's in Uvolitzion. Titein emes liyakov, chesed laavraham, it's in number one. It is the last pasuk in Sefer Micha, one of the 12 smaller prophets. Small in terms of the size of the Sefer. There are no small prophets. All prophets are big. And I put in the number one there. I have the pasuk before. The pasuk before, you should remember, that's on Tashlich. Yoshuv Yerachameinu, he will once again show us mercy. Yoshuv again, God will show us mercy. Yichvosh avonoteinu, he will suppress our sins. Yichvosh avonoteinu, he will suppress our sins. V'tashlich b'mitzulat yam kol chatotam, and he will cast into the sea all of their sins. That's what we say when we go to Tashlich. The last pasuk is Titein Emes liYaakov, grant truth to Yaakov, Chesed Lavron, kindness to Avron, Asher Nishbato Lavotenu, that you swore to our fathers, you may carry them all the way back from before. This woman's question to me was, why is Yitzchak not mentioned in this pasuk? Why is Yitzchak not mentioned? So of course that brought me to the pasuk, and so I'll tell you, if you take a look at the Radak in number 2, and then we're going to go to the Rashi in number 1. Hachesed, number 2, Hachesed hu Avram, God's kindness is to Avram. Shanatan lo b'chazdo, because God gave him out of his great kindness, ha'aretz, the land, he gave the land to Avram, that was an act of kindness. Ulevon av Achrov, and his children after him. Ubonov, heim v'nei Yaakov, who are ultimately the children of Avram that are going to receive the land? Yitzchak is not given the land. Even Yaakov is not given the land, but it's Yaakov's children who are going to be given the land. For Ha'emet, Huli Yaakov. As far as Yaakov is concerned, giving the land to his children is an act of truth. Because once God has promised it to Avram, truth demands that he keep the promise that he made. For Ha'emet Huli Yaakov, truth is Yaakov, ki achash enitno l'Avram ulbonav, after it was given to Avram and his children, Ha'emet Hu, the truth is, l'kayem ha'matana, to fulfill that gift, ulbonav, into his children, ki hu elekei ha'emet, because God is the God, elekei amiti, the real God, v'lo yoshuv devorav hatov achor, and any good word that he said will never turn around, backwards. Emes demands that he fulfill the promise that he made to Avraham. Asher nishbata la'avoteinu, that you swore to our fathers, kol al shloshes avos, in nishbata la'avoteinu, swear to our fathers, that includes all the three avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, ki l'shloshtam nishba, because he swore to all three of them. Rashi is going to bring from Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel that the word nishbato, swore, speaks of Yitzchak. Because where did God make an oath? At the end of the Akedah, it says, Be nishbati, I swear by my life, God says, Ki yan asher asita et hadover hazeh, because you did this, you did not hold your one and withhold your one and only son from me. Therefore, I will give you the land. Shvua, the oath that represents, that's Yitzchak. And Rashi brings the underlined over there. Asher nishbata ba'akedah, told by the akedah of Yitzchak, Bi nishbati lino Hashem yan asher osita. So we do have all three of the avos here. Now, our rabbis go further, and they say that even though the word emes and chesed over here are talking about God's emes and God's chesed, they say that emes is the hallmark of Yaakov. Chesed is the midah, the great personality trait of Avraham. Avram is chesed. Yitzchak, by the way, is gevura, might. Yirah, fear. Now, and Yaakov is emet. Now, it's not too difficult to find acts of chesed that were done by Avram Avinu. I mean, you take a look at the psukim. He goes out and risks his life in order to save his nephew Lot. I mean, we talked already a number of times about the mad chesed of Avraham Avinu when the three Bedouin Arab travelers, dusty angels, come to him. He runs, a life. That's all. He hurries and he runs. It's the third day after his bris milah. He's 99 years old. It's easy to find chesed by Avraham. It's even easy to understand chesed by Avram in a case where he didn't do chesed. When Sarah tells him, Garesh et ha'am azot et benot, cast out this maidservant and her child, Avram is deeply pained by it. He threw his wife and son out of that desert. It's really difficult for him. And the only reason he was able to do it was because God appears to him and tells him, Kol asher tamar elecho Sarah, shna b'kola, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. Listen to her. If he would not have received that divine communication telling him, yes, listen to her, it would have been the most difficult thing of all for him to cast them out. He's the one to whom the whole world comes. His doors are open from all four sides of his tent, so anybody who wants can come to Avraham. And his own flesh and blood he's going to cast out. That was extremely difficult for him. So even there, the fact that it must be by divine intervention that he does it shows that Avraham Avinu was the man of test. Yitzchak, being Pachad and Gevura, that requires a shear on its own. But what we know about it is that it will be said later that Yaakov is going to bring sacrifices in Beersheba when he's on his way down to Mitzrayim to the God of Pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzchak. Yitzchak represents Avoda, Yirah. Vayecherad Yitzchak Charoda Gedola Av Meod. Yitzchak, when he realizes that he gave the brachas to Yaakov and not to Esau, he trembles with a terrible trembling. And Chazal Rashi say it, he saw Gehenim Psucha Mitachov, he saw Gehenim opening up below. So there's something by Yitzchak that represents the idea of Pachad and Gvura. What I want to talk about today is Titein Emes LeYaakov. Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov is truth. Now you're going to be a little bit hard pressed to say that Yaakov represents Emes. We're talking about the man that, well, I would, some who include in this problem his purchase of the brachot, his bechorah. We have to talk about the bechorah and the brachot. The bechorah, the brachot, were last week's seder. In this week's seder, there's going to be something else. What's going to be in this week's seder? After he makes a final deal with Lavan, that the spotted and the speckled sheep are going to be mine, and the brown or the gray are going to be yours. So the Torah spends quite a bit of time telling us about those sticks that he put in the troughs, and the sheep would see it, and it would sort of affect their pregnancy, and the lo and behold, all these sheep's halacha are coming out spotted and speckled. You understand? Spotted and speckled. Polka dot sheep. So now, when you look at it sort of superficially, it seems that, one may be led to believe that this is shtick. It's not straight. It's not MS. If I don't talk about it by the end of this year, you know, I always get worried. Somebody here remember to ask me about it. So where do we see MS in Yaakov? What is it about Yaakov that makes him teaching MS Yaakov? Truth is Yaakov's. Saying that, so you should know in this week's sefer, it says that when he meets up with Rachel, this week's sefer is Vayetzeh, right? You know, when I travel, I get all mixed up. It's Vayetzeh, okay. Right? Vayetzeh, when he finally comes to Padan Aram, and he stops by the well, and he sees the shepherds who are waiting there with all of their sheep, and he asks them, it's so early, why are you gathering the sheep? So they tell him that there's a big stone that covers the well, and we have to wait till all of them come in order to remove the big stone from the well. And then, behold, Rachel is coming, and Yaakov walks over, and he just, with one single bound, he picks up the rock and gets it out of the way. So over there, there's a conversation that Rashi tells us about between Yaakov and Rachel. when they decide to, he says he wants to marry her. He says, no, you better be careful. My father is a deceiver. He's a Ramai. And Yaakov says, boasting, Ochiv ani b'ramaot. I'm his brother in trickery. I mean, of course, we find out that he wasn't at all his brother in trickery. Laban still was a great deal more than him. But the idea that Yaakov says it leaves sort of the impression as though you know, he's ready to bend the truth. So what we have to seek out in this shiur is, where do we see the depth of Yaakov Avinu's truth? What makes him the great paragon of truth? We have over here a Gemara. Number 3 is a Gemara in Matos, the end of the Sefer Matos. Gemara says the following. There were 613 mitzvahs given to the Jewish people at Sinai. Bar David v'hen midam alachat esrei. King David came and established 11 ethical requirements as the basis for the fulfillment of the 613 commandments. The English over here is very well done. You know, because it says, you know, one can wonder when it says, it might seem as though David has reduced 613 to 11. No, he didn't reduce anything. What he did was that he summed up the 613 can be summed up by 11 principles, and those 11 principles will include all the 613 commandments. Dichtiv, that says, and the Gemara brings us famous chapter in Tillim, 15, Mizma le David, mi yagur v'alecha, a psalm by David, who may sojourn in your tent, mi yishkon v'har kodshecha, who may dwell on your holy mountain. And they go on to list 11, David lists 11 character traits of a person who can dwell in the house of the Lord. Mi yagur v'alecha, mi yishkon v'har kodshecha, holech tamim, one who walks in perfect innocence, who poel tzedek, one who works righteously, Dovid, Emes Bilvavo, speaks truth in his heart. Lo Ragal Alishono, has no slander on his tongue. That can be understood in a number of ways. It can be understood as slander, and it can also be understood as anything that should not be said. Anything that should not be said. In other words, falsehood. Lo rogal al lishono, falsehood. Lo osal areyu rohi, had not done evil to his fellow, v'cherpo lo nosal krovo, and has not borne disgrace because of his relatives, nivze bein of nimus, in whose eyes a contemptible person is repulsive, v'yidei Hashem ichabidi, and as those who fear Hashem, nishba lohorav lo yomir, he swears even to something that to his detriment without retracting, he will not go back on it. Kaspol on also benashach, he does not lend money on interest. Shokad lo nok al noki lo lochach, does not take a bribe against the innocent. Ose eila, anybody who does this, lo yimot lo lom, will never falter, will never fall. Now, the Gemara is going to take the 11, and we only need the first few. The Gemara is going to take each one of these 11 and say, who is the prime example? Holech Tamim, Avram. Avram is Holech Tamim. It says, Hitalech Lefonai Ve'ye Tamim, walk before me and be perfect. Poel Tzedek, Kigon Abba Chilkia, the example of Abba Chilkia. Abba Chilkia was one who worked with absolute precision. He was hired out to somebody. We're going to see about this. And he, you know, he didn't come home with rubber bins and
paper clips.
I couldn't figure out the word paper clips. He didn't waste. He didn't sit on the phone during the time that work. He didn't use the boss's phone to call all sorts of family and friends that live out of the country about 10,000 miles away and take our time. Powell said that you work for somebody, you have to work properly. Dovid Emes Bilvavo, the Gemara says, who's the one that there's truth in his heart? That's Rav Safra. The story of Rav Safra, the Gemara says, somebody wanted to buy something from him. And he said, you know, I'm going to give you, say, $1,000 for it. And Rav Safra didn't respond because he was in the middle of Kriya Shema. He was saying Kriya Shema. So the guy thought that, no, $1,000 is not enough. So I'll give you $2,000. And Rav Safra still keeps saying Kriya Shema, don't say that. I don't know how far the price went up. And when he finished Kriya Shema, so he said, I'm going to sell it to you for the first price, for the $1,000. I was ready to give $10,000 now.
He agreed.
No, because in his heart, when he told him $1,000, the first offer that he made, that's the one that he was ready to accept. That's Dover MS Bill Dovo. There's a truth that was in his heart, and nobody knew it except him. And then we come Lo Ragal Lishono, one who has no slander on his tongue, Zay Yaakov Avinu, Dechtiv, because it says, Ulay Yemusheni Avi Vahayiti Be'enav Kimita Ateya. This is in last week's Sedra, when his mother wants him to go and take the brachos instead of Esav. So he says to her, but listen, my brother is hairy, and I am not. Ulay Yemusheni Avi, maybe my father is going to feel me, and he'll see that I'm not and I will be in his eyes like a deceiver. Go to number four. That's the Rashi on this one line in the Gemara. Lo rogal alishono. Listen to what Rashi says. Lo rotzo l'shaker mitchila. From the very beginning, Yaakov didn't want to say any lie. Lo rotzo l'shaker mitchila she'omar, because he said to his mother, Ulay Yemusheni Avi. So why did he go? The big ish MS that we're talking about, why did he go? Ella she'ima imo hichrichaso, his mother coerced him. Al pi hadibur. According to Rashi, it means that Rivka told Yaakov, I received this communication from God, al pi hadibur. God told me. By the way, we know that God told her that there are two children in your womb and one is going to wax stronger over the other. She knew already in advance what's going to be with this Yaakov and this Esau. By the way, that of course explains why Rivka, Yitzchak loved Esau and Rivka loves Yaakov. There is something that she knows that Yitzchak doesn't know. And she never communicated that to Yitzchak. She never communicated to Yitzchak. Yes, I know, most probably modern psychological approach was that, you know, she was afraid of him. She couldn't communicate with him. There was a problem, you know, a communication problem between Yitzchak and Rivka. Nonsense! Now it's time to listen to any of this. The pasuk says, God said to her, when she came to the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Eva to find out what's happening in her womb, it says, Vayomer la, God said to her, she understands, Shabbos, that she's not free to go ahead and tell this. There are times that Hashem will communicate with a person with the intent, lamor, say it to others. But no, this was for her. And if it's for her, then she cannot, she can't say it any further. By the way, on Rivka also you can say Lo Ragal Alushano. She doesn't utter something out of her mouth that she has no right to utter. Her mouth is holy. So therefore, when she sends Yaakov to go take the brachos, she has God on her side. So Rashi says, Elo she'imo yichrichoso, his mother coerced him, Dal Pi Adibur, Diksiv, because it says, Olai kilulatcha benishim said, your curse shall be on me. Umetargeminon, the Targum says, Elai it amar, to me it was said, benevuah, to me it was said through prophecy, the lo yesin levatya aloch b'ni, there shall not come any curse upon you, my son. Alright. But Rashi said that at the very beginning, Yaakov did not want to say a word of sheker out of his mouth. And anything that happens afterwards is because his mother coerced him to go, and more than that, she says that this is the divine will. So we're going to find something very, something that's going to be very fascinating over here. He's going to come into his father. He's going to come into his father, and his father is going to ask him, "Maze miharto b'ni? How did you come so quickly?" So he says, "Hikra Hashem Elokecha lefonai, God, your God, brought this goat to me." Wait a minute. This raises a big question in Yitzchak's mind. Rashi says, Esav ein shem shomayim shogur al piv. Esav, you don't hear him talking about the Rebbein Shem this or the Rebbein Shem that, or Yitzchak Hashem, although the Amish the elephant. And all of a sudden, here's this fellow over here who's talking to God Almighty, the Heilige Bashefa, sent me a goat. So he wants to know more about who this person is. And then also, when he says, when he speaks to Yitzchak, he says, Yokum no avi, please, Father, sit up and I'm going to give you tea. And this starts bells and ringing by Yitzchak. Esav doesn't say please. Yitzchak knows his children. And this fellow says please. And by the way, in what voice did he speak? Did he come in and muffle his voice or try to imitate Esav's voice? No. Yaakov spoke the way Yaakov always speaks. He used the same terminology that comes naturally to him. Now, it means that there's absolutely no attempt whatsoever to fool his father. None whatsoever. Why doesn't he do that? I mean, his mother sent him to get the brachas. No. You know why? Because Yaakov knows the following. I'm only going to do what my mother tells me to do. Because whatever my mother tells me to do, it's pshat, the pshat is that it is a prophet who is telling me to do it. The halacha is, over al divrei hanovin, one who transgresses the words of a prophet, chayiv misal, death min hashamayim. I have to listen to my mother. What did his mother do? All that his mother did was she put on the garments of Esav that are hairy, and she told him to go. Right? That's what mother told me. Did she tell me to change my voice? Did she tell me that I should speak in Esav-like terminology? No, no. Therefore, Yaakov comes, and in no way whatsoever does he attempt to fool his father. No way whatsoever. Yes?
But doesn't he say his name is Esav?
Oh! So therefore, Rashi has to say. The Rashi has to say another. But remember, you have to remember Anochi Esav Bechorecho. So Rashi says it's a white lie. I'm Yaakov. And by the way, you know what he's really telling him? Pa, you know who I am. You know my voice. You know who I am. He's not fooling anybody. You think that when he said Anochi Esav Bechorecho, Yitzchak thinks that he's Esav. No, it ain't so at all. Yitzchak knows that this is Yaakov. He hears the voice. Do you understand? You can bear testimony in a court on the basis of a voice, the voice recognition. He talks like Esav, like Yaakov. He acts like Yaakov. He says, please. It's clear that he's fooling nobody. Yitzchak is not fooled for a second when he says, Anochi Esav B'chodach.
So why did Yitzchak give a shrine after he realized
that? The shrine that we talked about before was, that there's a great deal to be said about that. I mean, that's a shiur in and of itself. I quoted the Rashi there, where Rashi says that he saw Gehenim opening up beneath him, because he realized that what he had intended to do was a mistake. He had intended to give Esav the brachas, and that would have been a profound tragedy. That's what he's afraid of. By the way, he says Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, Vayodayim Yidei Esav, and the hands on the hands of Esav, and he blessed him. What does it mean? If it's possible that it's Yaakov, and it's possible that he's Esav, well, why doesn't he make a better investigation? No, he understands that the one who's there is Yaakov. And what he realizes is that the one that should get the brachos is Yaakov, and he gives it to him. He doesn't give it to him because he's fooled and he thinks that this is Esav.
And when Esav comes, Yitzchak says, Gam Baruch.
Gam baruch. All right. So first of all, at least what we found out, number one, is that the lo rogal al lishono that Dovra Melech is talking about, that's Yaakov, and we have the great Rashi. The Rashi tells us that from the very beginning he did not want to sin. He did not want to say falsehood. But there's more. When Esav comes in and he finds out that the brachas were given to Yaakov, it says, "Vayizak zo'okor gedola umara." He cried out a great and a bitter cry. If we want to understand the depth of Esav's pain, and what is he pained about? He's pained about the fact that he has not received his father's blessing. How do we know the extent of the pain? Because that same phrase appears only once in Tanakh, one more time. Vayetze Mordechai. Mordechai finds out that there is a final solution for the Jewish people. Vayizak Zaakov Gedola Umara. He went out and he cried out with a great bitter cry. Do you understand? There's a death sentence on all of Klal Yisrael that evokes Zaakov Gedola Umara, a great and bitter cry. That's how Esau feels about the fact that he has not received his father's blessing. I want to make a Kal Vachomer. You know what? Both Yaakov and Esau understood that whatever word comes out of the mouth of Yitzchak is a word that carries tremendous, tremendous weight, eternal weight. Not receiving the bracha is such a profound tragedy to Esau. Can you imagine what happens if Yitzchak would curse one of his children? A curse of Yitzchak would be an even profounder tragedy than all of that. And you know what? Yaakov is risking the klala of his father, but he will not say anything that's untrue. You have to understand what he's risking when he walks in. It's very possible that his father is going to say to him, Yaakov, you're trying to steal the brachos of Esav? You shall be such and such until the very end of time. A klala from Yitzchak would have been the worst tragedy possible. And Yaakov knows this. And you know what? Not him. He's going to risk everything. He's not going to do anything beyond that which his mother had told him. Because whatever his mother had told him, that was the word of a prophetess. And he has to listen to that. She didn't tell him, change your voice. She didn't tell him, speak gruffly rather than saying please. Didn't say any of these things. Yes.
He said when Rachel told him to take bracha and to dress up. He said, what happens if my father finds out and he will curse me? And she said that the curse shall be on me.
I can't hear.
The curse, his mother said, took the clodder. The clodder wouldn't be on him.
Yes.
The clodder would be on his mother. His mother said that the clodder would be on her.
Yeah.
So he wasn't so afraid.
I don't know whether he, I don't know whether that cut any ice with him when we're talking about the possibility of him being present when his father curses him. I don't know, can his, can you really say, well, okay, Pa, you're cursing me, but you know, I'm transferring it all to him. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works. All that I want to say is the following. There was great fear. Yidat Adomumut, Yitzchak was a very, very holy individual. His children had more than respect, they had awe and reverence for him. He knows that he's coming in over there and he's been alive. And who knows what the end will be. He can't figure it all out in advance. But he knows that the end can be very bitter. Doesn't make any difference. He's not going to lie. He's not going to lie. Let's go further. We're going to have to... there's a lot we have to build up over here. A Rambam. Number five is a Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shechiros, the laws of employment, or the laws of hiring oneself, or one's animal, or renting one's car. All of these are laws. The Derech Muzhar Bal Abayit Shelo Yigzol Shechar Oni V'lo Yakvanu, in the way in which an owner, a Bal Abayit, an employer, the manner in which an employer is warned that he should not steal the wages of the poor. The lo yakvenu, not only not to steal the wages of the poor, but not to withhold them. You have to pay somebody when the time comes to pay. Kach he'oni muzar, there's a second side to this. The poor fellow who is working, who is the employee, there are responsibilities that an employee has. Kach he'oni muzar, Shelo yigzol melechet bal habayit, he shall not steal the work of the one he works for. V'yivtal ma'av b'kan u'ma'av b'kan, and he's going to waste a little time here, and he's going to waste a little time there. And the end is u'motzi kol hayom b'mirma, the whole day. He wastes the whole day through one subterfuge or another. Elachayev ledagdek al atzmo bezman, he has to be very, very careful about the time that he's working to make sure that the employer gets the full amount of employment that he's being paid for. Shahadei hikpidu al brocho revis shel birchas hamazon shelo yivarech ola. What I'm saying with halacha is the following. A person who's working for somebody else, and it comes time for benching, he's only allowed to take out time to say the first three brachas in benching till Bonei Berachamod Yerushalayim Amen. The fourth bracha of Hatova Meitev Hu Heitev Hu Meitev Hu Yetev Lanu doesn't have to say that. That will take more time. That halacha, that bracha is midrabbanan. The rabbis are the ones who established that bracha. The first three brachas in benching are min haTorah. Make no mistake. Don't anybody walk out of here. Make no mistake. The Shulchan Aruch says that's the Gemara says what I just said. Shulchan Aruch says bismanenu. In our days, there's no such thing. And Shulchan Aruch wrote it hundreds of years ago. That our employers, you understand, are perfectly willing and happy that the fellow who works for him should say the whole benching. He could even throw in the harachmons, and that's also okay. But the halacha, when the halacha was said, I even see it now, the halacha is being so significant that it's telling us how careful you have to be with the permitted time out to get. You have a right to take time out to eat. And if you take time out to eat, then you have the right to bench. But even in bench, not too much. You have to get back to work. You know, there's a moral lesson that is taught by this halacha, even though the halacha does not apply, in fact. But there's a moral over here. There's an ethical principle. An employer has to work honestly for his employer. So the Rambam says the employee has to be careful about time that he takes out, because here we see that our rabbi said you don't have to say the fourth bracha and benching. Shari pidol bracha rabbis. V'chein chayev lavol b'chol tocho. Is obligated to work with all of his strength. Shari Yaakov hatzadik omar, because Yaakov the tzadik said, and we'll see right away where this pasuk is. This pasuk is in this week's sedra, in Pasha Vayetze, when he takes his wives out into the field and plans the great escape. And he tells them, oh, was your father was such an employer, very so the Irish the whole people as I employer. Because the fact is, he says, "Ki b'chol kochi ovadeti et avichem, with all of my strength, I worked for your father." Lefichach not al schar zos av ba'olam hazeh. The reward for being an honest employee with integrity, who works b'chol kocho, is rewarded in this world. Shenema v'yifro tzoish ba'od mod. Yaakov became very, very wealthy, you know, from those little shepsach, the little goats that he had. They became little goats, become big goats, and a few goats became many, many, many goats. He leaves the house of Lavan, but he's still afraid of his father-in-law. It's a terrible, only because, of course, it's Lavan who is a Ramah. Now, there are a number of things that we have to take a look at. The Rambam is very fascinating. You know, every Rambam is fascinating. And you have to always, when you learn a Rambam, you have to take into account one thing. There is no extra word in the Rambam. Just the way we look at a Pasuk in Chumash and Tanakh, that's the way you have to read the Rambam. Yaakov HaTzadik, he adds a title to Yaakov. Yaakov, the righteous one. What the Talmud wants to tell us is to work faithfully for an employer is a matter of tzedek, of righteousness, of justice. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the word over here, tzedek, means that his work was b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, that he was correct. Because only the Ish HaEmes, the man who is his whole being exudes absolute truth, understands how you have to work for an employee. He knew how to make clear in his own life, and he's the one who establishes for us the idea. Remember, the Rambam used the words of Yaakov. He used you have to work with all of your talent and with all of your energies. Because Yaakov HaTzadik did that. But there's another description of how Yaakov worked. Let's turn over. Here's another description. This description, Tibakol Kochi, with all of my strength, I worked for your father. This, as I told you, is what Yaakov tells his wives when they plan to leave the house of Lavan. If you take a look for a moment in number six, sorry. Oh, No, seven. Here is the greatest speech in all of Tanakh. The greatest soliloquy in all, maybe in all of literature. Vayicha, this is after Lavan has caught up with him on the hills of the Gilad, and he's gone through all of his baggage looking for his idols that had been taken. He doesn't find them. Vayicha leYaakov, finally, after 20 years, all of the anger, the pent-up anger of 20 years comes out by Yichal Yaakov, And it was Yaakov was angry, Vayyarev b'Lavan, and he argued with Lavan. Vayyan Yaakov v'yomer l'Lavan. Reading number 7, and Yaakov raised his voice and he said to Lavan, Ma pishi u'makatasi, what is my evil and what is my sin? Kitolak tacharai, that you pursued me. Kimishashtet kol klei lai, you touched all of my possessions. Ma motzasa, mikol klei b'esachah, what did you find over here from all the things? You didn't find a paper clip. You didn't find a rubber band. What did you find from Klei Beitecha over here? By the way, that also is the indication of the Ish Ha'emes. 20 years he's working in the house and there's nothing there in that house. Simko neged achai v'achecha, place it here before my brothers and your brothers. V'yochichu ben shneinu, let them prove. Did you find anything? A spoon, a fork. Zeh shon anochi imach, 20 years I'm with you. V'chelecha b'yizecha lo shikelu, your lambs and your goats never lost a child. Ve'elei tzonchol o'achalti, I didn't eat a shepsel of yours. Treifol o'heveti elecha, if an animal was torn apart by a wild animal, I never brought it to you. Anochi achatanu miyodi tvachenu, I'm the one who had to pay for it. Gnuf siyom, gnuf silayla, that people stone by day, that was stone by. Listen to this pasuk. You want a real description of how he worked? Or you see bayom, during the day, acholani chorev, the heat consumed me, the kerach balayla, and at night, I froze. But tidav shnosi me einai, and I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. What's fascinating is when he's speaking to his wives and he tells them how he worked for his father, he says, what did the Rambam quote? Ki b'chol kochi avadeti et avichem. With all of my strength. He doesn't wax poetic. He doesn't tell them, Do you know day and night I worked? I was burned by the sun during the day. I froze at night. Why doesn't he describe it in both places in the same way? And why does the Rambam choose in his halacha how an employee is supposed to act with an employer? Why does the Rambam choose the first description, the one that Yaakov says to his daughters, not the second description? It's obvious. The second description of being burned by the sun during the day and freezing at night is an employer who is a tzaddik yesod olam. The Rambam understood that that's not the halachic definition of what working is. Yaakov was the great tzaddik, that's why he calls him tzaddik. But when he's speaking to his wives, there he expresses what the halacha should be. Ki b'kol kochi, I work with all my talents. Doesn't mean, you know, I have to schlep and zets and come out there at the end of the day exhausted and oizgimuchet. All my talents have to go to my employer. So there are two standards. There's the standard for everybody, and then there's the standard for the Ish HaEmes. The Ish HaEmes has a completely different standard that nobody else in the world is expected to follow. Now, listen to this. When we talked about Avram's Chesed, and we talked about Rivka's Chesed, you may recall 2 weeks ago that I said that I don't want to be irreverent, but I asked, Rivkala, a clean maidala. All right, let's say she's a teenager. These 10 lovers over there with their 10 big camels. And she runs and she comes and she goes. And they're standing over there, I don't know, twiddling their thumbs. Eliezer, a certain standing, looking in amazement. And I said, where did she get something of this sort? I said, the only other example of mad chesed well, I use the word exaggerated, but I'm more confident now. I say mad. Absolute. Wild. Where did she get it? Of course, from Avraham Avinu, whose chesed was also mad, mad, mad. But Avraham did it because that was his neshama. Rivka did that because she was the student of Avraham and Sarah via Devorah. Via Devorah. Avraham and Sarah. You know what I want to say here now? Yaakov follows in their footsteps. His emes is exaggerated because he's the Ishaimus. No one would ever say in any halacha, any place, that your faithfulness to your employer has to be what Yaakov's really was. That was exaggerated. That was for Yaakov. Because he was emes. By him, the idea of emes, his personal definition of absolute truth, required of him to work that way for this father-in-law. They couldn't stand. A father-in-law about whom Torah is going to say later, Arami Oved Ovi Vayeda Mitzchayim of the Aramean wanted to destroy me. I'm going to go one little step further, and I hope I'm not stepping out of line. There are times that, you know, we hear a story of a God will be Yisroel that did such and such. Mm. And, you know, then there are people who are going to that minute, that conduct, wow, and people adopt it. You have to know whether you're on that madrega to adopt it or not. You can't think that you're going to instantly become, you know, the great Ishot Sitkonis that the Gemara describes in certain places, who did something her whole life, such and such, never happened, or she never did, or she never said, and that becomes a standard for everybody. There are not standards for everybody. The only standard for everybody is halacha. The only standard for everybody is halacha. When you start moving out of the realm of halacha into all sorts of other areas, one has to be very careful. You have to know, are you on that matrega or are you not on that matrega? Don't give me no stories, or Yisi Bayom Acholani, Chodeb, Vekerach, Balayla, or, you know, 3 days after an operation, you go running around the house serving guests. Lig Angelite, you understand? This is the extent of the truth. Truth by Yaakov Avinu demands that Kol Kocho, in other words, the all of the strength of Yaakov is different than Kol Kocho of anybody else. We have a responsibility to put in our 9 to 5 and do it properly, do it with our intelligence and our intellect the way we can do it as good as we can. That's what we are expected to do. These parashos in Torah, I'm ready to know I'm stepping into dangerous areas, I'll keep stepping in. They are not to be emulated. No halacha ever required anybody to be the chesed of Avraham or the chesed of Rivka or to be the employer that Yaakov was. No such requirement. And anybody who's going to attempt it and doesn't have an neshama that is full of truth is going to fall flat on his face. You have to be
yourself,
a Yaakov Avinu.
Yourself.
You have it, what it has to come from within. Let's say the fire. I have to tell you the following. We have only scratched the surface, really scratched the surface of Yaakov Ish Emes. Titen Emes LeYaakov. The Emes LeYaakov means that whatever he did, whatever he did that may seem strange to you, there was a great degree of truth. We didn't talk about the Bechorah, the firstborn. The Medrash says that Yaakov had visions. Yaakov had visions that there'd be a Beis Hamikdash someday in Yerushalayim, and you know who would be the Kohen Gadol over there? Esav, because the firstborn is the one who was supposed to do the Avodas HaKavonos. This is the worst Chilul Hashem possible. It can't be. And by the way, he buys it from him fair and square. All of these mistakes that people make in thinking that the, oh, we said some quite a number of years ago, a shir about, you know, you read the parsha, without reading the parsha carefully, you think that here's Esav coming in, he's all exhausted and he's dying, and giving some of that red stuff, and Yaakov takes a plate of the red stuff, and it's not good. No, Esav, you first sell me your birthright. I'm dying, give it eight. Give it eight. No, I want it in quadruplicate. I want your chotemet. You don't have your chotemet, you better. Without a chotemet, you're nothing in this country. You are nothing. And then he keeps. It never happened that way. And it's also because people don't read it carefully. When the whole story is over there by the Bechor, it says, V'Yaakov Nosan. And Yaakov had given. There's a difference between Vayiten Yaakov and Yaakov gave, which would have meant that after the negotiations were over, then Yaakov said, okay, signed, we have a statement, we stapled it together, and you had your chotamet, now it's okay, now you can eat. The moment that Esav asked him for food, the Ish HaEmes, the grandson of Avram, gave him instantly to eat. The Yaakov Nosan, you have to watch words in Torah. You have to watch them. They're so carefully crafted. Yaakov Nosan is a past perfect. Yaakov had given. He gave him immediately. He gave him tea. And then after that, they negotiated. Yaakov is the Ish Emes. Titein Emes. Yaakov says, Titein Emes, Tesla Avdom. So I say, can't help it. We've only scratched the surface of one of the Avos who completes the three Avos. And we'll see, we'll find all the opportunities for the rest. Okay, thank you.